This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Five for Fortune with me, Arvind Yuvaraj. You know, when I was doing my research for this episode, I came across a bunch of companies that revolve around innovating and improving the business of Hollywood. And some of the work that these companies do really blew my mind, because sometimes you hear people say that opportunities for business in a certain area or industry may be saturated or scarce. But after seeing what these companies do, I realized that there's always room for improvement. And all you have to do is recognize the gap between the provider and the customer, and that's your cue. So what happened here was I found a whole bunch of companies that did these really cool things in and around Hollywood and movies, and I decided to narrow my list down to 10, and then I split that 10 into two episodes. So basically, if you caught last week's episode, you would have heard me talk about five of the most innovative companies in Hollywood, and this week I'll be covering another five, but I'm putting a twist on it. This week, it's all about startups, you know, the little guy, the regular Joe, the up-and-comer, that sort of thing. So, without further ado, this is Five of Fortune, and this episode is called Five of the Most Innovative Startups in Hollywood. So, I love movies. I've loved movies and studied movies and took up filmmaking because I just like the art of cinema. And one thing I love to do as much as watching and experiencing movies is talking about them. Like, I just saw Logan last week, and I really like digging into the plot and talking to other people about what I've seen and about what works and what doesn't. Why did this character do this and why did they do that? And of course, there are some movies out there that don't need any discussing. Like, if you saw Suicide Squad, it was stupid. There's nothing more to discuss. Move along. So I'm not saying every movie warrants a discussion. I'm just saying I like to talk about movies. But yeah, my point is there are a lot of people out there who also love to talk about movies. And while doing my research for this episode, I came across a startup called Movie Lala that has like a social media app, but just for movies and people who want to talk cinema. And I was really excited because I found an app like Facebook, but just for movies. And then I realized that the app is only available for iOS and is only on the Apple App Store. Like, dude, what kind of weird elitist segregation is that? Who makes apps exclusively for the iPhone anymore? Jeez. Anyway, I couldn't download the app because I'm more of an Android guy, but that doesn't mean that Movie Lala isn't doing some great work by capitalizing on the social networking gaps around Hollywood fandom. That's why we're going to talk about them as our first segment on today's episode. Again, this is Five for Fortune and five of the most innovative startups in Hollywood, and segment number one is for a startup called Movie Lala.
Number one.
So I'm sure at least one of you made a Movie Lala Land joke in your head, like, yeah, Movie Lala Land. It's a terrible joke. Please don't say it out loud. So San Francisco-based Movie Lala is both a social network for film fans and a marketing platform for movie studios. The company's data and analytics help Hollywood executives determine which movie trailers are working and which aren't. Now, the keywords here are data and analytics, because here's the thing. Movie Lala is a personalized and social design platform for upcoming movies, where movie fans can discover upcoming movies closely related to movies that they love. So there is an algorithm at play here, just like your Netflix or Spotify or any other social platform. But because the niche is so fine-tuned to just movies and, more importantly, upcoming movies, studios are able to rely on the data to sort of track how well a movie might perform at the box office. And on the flip side, like without getting into all the technical behind-the-scenes stuff, MovieLala is just a fun social media platform that allows fans to connect to one another and also keep track of the movies that they want to see. The social media aspect of the app kicks in when the fans can decide which movie theater they want to go to. They can grab an Uber from within the app and organize their own meetup groups all through MovieLala app itself, which is pretty cool if you ask me. The people behind MovieLala are Dana Loberg and Sahin Boydas. Dana previously worked at Fox Studios, so she knows her way around town. She's passionate about bringing new technologies in mobile to Hollywood. And she's also a massive supporter of women in tech. And then there's Sahin Boydas, who's really living the American dream because he's a hardcore movie buff who traveled there all the way from Istanbul. So you can see that MovieLala is as startup can get because it's run by two very passionate people, but they're expanding on such a rapid pace that it's actually pretty inspiring. Their model is a two-prong system. So one function of MovieLala is to bring movie fans together and give them a platform to connect to one another and plan movie gatherings with ease, all while keeping track of when movies are coming out as well as where to watch them. And the other function of MovieLala, which is probably the innovative part of the company, is to deliver all this priceless anonymous, the keyword being anonymous, data to movie studios who can then track which movies are getting traction with the fans. I just wish they'd open up the app for Android. I cannot stress this enough because there's a huge untapped market out there just waiting to jump on board MovieLala's platform. Anyway, that was MovieLala, a startup that has an app for trailers, a social media movie app that connects film fanatics the world over. Next up, we've got this really cool streaming service called Mubi. Now, Mubi isn't your typical movie catalog like Netflix or Hulu or Amazon or even our regional iFlix. Instead of giving you thousands of movies and TV shows to choose from, Mubi only allows you to watch a special selection of 30 movies at any given time. Interesting, right? Let's look at Mubi as number two on today's list of five most innovative startups in Hollywood.
Number two.
So Mubi was founded by a man called F.A. It's C-A-K-A-R-E-L. F.A. Sakarel. Let's go with that. F.A. here is a film enthusiast and he originally wanted to start a streaming service just like Netflix, but he found that a movie catalog like that was very capital intensive, so F.A. thought about it and decided to launch a subscription platform for people who genuinely love cinema and the art of filmmaking, and he soon launched something called The Auteurs. Now, The Auteurs is a smaller version of Mubi. It had a very limited catalog, but this is where F.A. founded his team of feisty editorial members called The Notebook. These are the guys and girls who put together your list of movies because they're made up of solid film enthusiasts and pundits and just people who really dig good films from all around the world. And that's the key word here because the films are from all around the world. I'll get to that a bit later. A few years down the road, F.A. Sakarel, I'm butchering his name, I'm sorry about that. F.A. rebooted the brand and started calling it Mubi, which is a cool name because it's like, I want to watch a movie on Mubi. So I want to watch a movie, you know. So here's how it works. There's a huge catalog of movies on Mubi, but only 30 are available at any given time. Each day, a new movie is added to the catalog and an old one goes back offline. So you'll never know when this movie is ever going to show up again. Now, the great thing about Mubi is that the film selection is really, really good. And I mean, these dudes are giving you some deep cuts because they know their stuff. It's not just big Hollywood blockbusters, but critically acclaimed movies from all around the world that are just comprehensive case studies for good filmmaking. So you could watch a really good Japanese film today, and tomorrow you could watch a highly rated comedy from Russia, and then the day after you could watch, you know, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. You'll never feel like you're watching the same old movies again and again because they're so incredibly different from one another each and every day. Also, there's the psychology of urgency at play here, because when you look at a movie and you see that there's only going to be like 5 days left before you can watch it, you'll make it a point to watch it if you really want to, because otherwise it'll be gone indefinitely. It's just like going to the cinema, you know, like most movies are only going to be around for a month. And if you don't catch it on the big screen, then you might never get to unless, I don't know, they rerun it. I don't know. I think it's a pretty smart idea what MUBI is doing. So right now, MUBI is available in 200 countries, including Malaysia, and costs about $5.99 US, which amounts to about 30 ringgit. Which I guess isn't too bad at all. The part here that makes MUBI a highly innovative company is how they saw the video streaming market and its players and saw a gap that's so unorthodox when you think about it. They entered the game, but instead of competing with Netflix by trying to offer a bigger catalog, which is pretty difficult and pretty impossible at this point, they scaled down and made things very cozy and personal and implemented that human touch in their business. So now you know that there's a team of passionate, dedicated film lovers behind MUBI who are carefully looking through hundreds and thousands of films to bring you your selection of 30 films. And that human recommendation, that's, you know, that's the thing that's very enticing. I don't know. It is to me, at least. Anyway, MUBI is doing great. They have about 8 million registered users and 100,000 active subscribers, and they're expanding. FA says that MUBI will start working with film festivals to screen some of the independent movies on MUBI for a limited time to give them more exposure using the same 30-day template, which I think is a great idea. I don't know, I'm just impressed at how they saw a need for human curation among film enthusiasts and decided to launch this streaming service. Good stuff, MUBI. Kudos to them. Right, time for a break. When we come back, I'll talk about three of the remaining startups on my list. And it's a good list. Trust me, the best list. The greatest. You're listening to 5 for Fortune, and this is 5 of the most innovative startups in Hollywood. I'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
You're still listening to 5 for Fortune with me, Arvind Yuvraj. Today's episode is called 5 of the most innovative startups in Hollywood. So before the break, I covered a streaming service called MUBI that only shows 30 critically acclaimed and specially curated movies at any given time. And before that, we touched base on MUBI Lala, a social media app specially designed for film fanatics everywhere, which is only available on the iOS at the moment, so that's a bummer. But still, a super innovative company that provides data and analytics for movie studios, so that's good. So let's jump into some of the more super geeky technical stuff for a bit, right? There's a startup called FaceShift that's doing a lot of work in the animation and facial motion capture sector in Hollywood. Let's take a look at that as number, where are we on the list? Number 3 on today's list.
Number 3.
FaceShift. Such a straightforward name for a company that does some seriously complicated work. Now, there's a small asterisk to this segment because, yes, FaceShift is a startup, but it was just acquired by Apple in November 2015. So it's not like they're going through those basic startup problems anymore, or at least I hope not. But they were pretty much a regular startup up until that point, so I guess it qualifies. It qualifies. So here's some background on FaceShift. It was originally founded in Zurich by academics Thibaut Wise, Brian Amberg, and Sofiane Bouazizi as a spin-off from the Computer Graphics and Geometry Laboratory at École Polytechnique Fédérale de Lausanne in Switzerland. I can't even speak my own language, so this is ridiculous. From Switzerland, I'm so sorry if I butchered that. The school originally owned two of FaceShift's facial animation patents, which transferred to FaceShift at the end of August 2015, just ahead of FaceShift transferring much of its IP administration to firms that commonly do work for Apple. So that's when people started to suspect that Apple bought them and Apple owned up afterwards. And then FaceShift added offices to the West Coast headed by film and gaming industry vet Doug Griffin, who is, by the way, no longer with FaceShift, and in London. The London office is headed by someone called Nico Scapel. And this is interesting because Nico Scapel is a visual effects specialist with a long and impressive list in film credits. So they have a very heavyweight bunch of people to take them in the right direction. Right, so FaceShift is basically an animation company that uses facial motion capture software to create avatars that mimic human expressions in real time. It pretty much revolutionizes facial animation by making it possible at every desk, so that's pretty cool. The software analyzes the facial movements of an actor and describes, quote-unquote, describes them as a mixture of basic expressions that includes head orientation and eye gaze. Now, the eye part is really important in any animation because that's the part that looks fake most of the time. So, yeah, so a head orientation and eye gaze. This description is then used to animate virtual characters for use in any situation where facial animation is required, such as movie and video game production. So let me repeat that in English. This software captures facial expression, then it transfers them into a template, and then this template can be applied to any animated character to be used as their facial expressions. I'll give you an example. You know how in Star Wars, you know, they have all these weird-looking characters with the funny faces? So instead of animating their faces frame by frame, you can apply one of FaceShift's templates to the creature, and it'll start moving accordingly. Oh, how cool is that? And the reason I mentioned Star Wars is because J.J. Abrams, director J.J. Abrams, actually used FaceShift's technology for The Force Awakens. So obviously they made this list because with movies like Star Wars on your resume, you're bound to be something special. But where does the innovation come from, though? Well, animation and motion capture has been around for a long, long time, but the biggest problem is how time-consuming animating facial expressions are. So instead of doing it from scratch every single time, FaceShift figured out a way to create a sort of bank of facial expressions with these quote-unquote descriptions that these animated characters can easily read, understand, and apply to their own features. And of course, there's the fact that these captures can be done from anywhere, including your own desktop. So they saw a problem with the field, which was time, and they decided to find a way to speed up the process, and they did. They are now huge in Hollywood. So yeah, we've covered a company that runs a movie social media app. There's another that streams only 30 movies at any given time, and one that supplies facial expression technology to giant studios and movies like Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Now, let's look into a startup that saw a service gap in the movie ticketing line and decided to do something about it. The name of this startup is DealFlix, and the idea for this company came to founder Sean Wycliffe or Wycliffe. Why are these names so weird today? Sean Wycliffe, when he was watching a king's speech. Let's get into that story on the second last segment of this episode. Oh, and if you're just tuning in, we're talking about five of the most innovative startups in Hollywood. And number four on today's list is a startup called DealFlix.
Number four.
So one day in 2011, Sean Wycliffe was watching A King's Speech, which is that movie with Forrest Whitaker. Wait, no, it's not Forrest Whitaker. That's The Last King of Scotland. The King's Speech is with Colin Firth. Yes. So, right. He was watching The King's Speech and he was surprised to see that the movie theater was practically empty. So he got together with Kevin Hong, who is the co-founder of this company, and they raised an initial $65,000 from friends and... How do you raise $65,000 from friends and family? Beside the point. Anyway, they raised an initial $65,000 from friends and family to launch the company, but it was the membership in 500 Startups. You all know 500 Startups, which is an accelerated program for upstarts, which is what helped the company get into the spotlight in Silicon Valley. DealFlix officially launched in beta in July 2012. So here's what DealFlix does. It partners with theaters to offer discounts on tickets to fill up those empty seats. Hong and Wycliffe say that 88% of movie theater seats are left empty every day, which is a shocking number, I guess. And we have to take into account a bunch of variables to see if that's actually true. But there's obviously a market there, which is why DealFlix has been doing really well for itself. They partner directly with movie theaters to help them fill their empty seats, and they negotiate with theaters to bring their users deals on tickets, on popcorn and soda, so even the snacks and the stuff that you get outside in the concession stands. And apparently theaters love them because they don't charge any sign-up or ongoing fees to market their venue. And of course, customers love them because they offer some sweet deals for tickets, something like 30 to 60% off. So the issue here is obviously a lot bigger than just filling up empty seats, right? It has a lot to do with I wouldn't say overload, but an abundance of entertainment out there, which makes cinemas not the only option for people? The truth is, anyone should have done this. It's not like we don't already have apps like Priceline curating the best deals around town for other things. It's just that Wyclef and Hong saw potential in movie theater segments and decided to capitalize on it. It's smart, it's timely, it's just good business all around. It's also very innovative because they're leveraging on pre-existing facilities like the cinema and the seats, and they're just tying up with these cinemas to provide a bigger network and give people more incentive to watch a movie there. It's opportunity and innovation all in one. Right, so we've come to the final segment on today's episode. Hey, if you're just tuning in, this is 5 for Fortune with 5 of the most innovative startups in Hollywood. There's a lot of cool stuff here, like a streaming service that curates the best 30 movies for you. So if you want to catch all of that, be sure to check out our podcast on the BFM app, available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. Now moving on, there's a startup called Jaunt in Palo Alto, California, and they're tackling virtual reality hardware because of course they are, and they have specialized content for big IPs as a part of the extended marketing process. Let's check out Jaunt as the fifth and final segment on today's episode.
Number 5.
Okay, so when Jaunt was first created, its founders Jens Christensen and Arthur Van Hoff wanted to launch a Netflix-like service that would lure subscribers for a virtual reality or VR service. That changed over the years, and one founder, Christensen, left last year, and the focus has changed. So instead of that, the company intends to feed content to the growing number of mobile devices that can be outfitted with headsets, such as Samsung's Gear VR or the Google Cardboard, and of course the headset-wearing patrons of console devices like the Sony PlayStation, etc., etc. So here's how this works. If you go into their website at jauntvr.com, you can see a library of specially created VR content that tie into a lot of big movies and TV shows. For example, there's a VR experience for Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, you know, the Harry Potter spin-off. If you stream or watch this using your VR headset, you'll be able to immerse yourself in a specially designed spin-off content episode experience thing from Fantastic Beasts, but it isn't the Fantastic Beast movie, so these are like exclusive footage that you see in the VR experience that's not in the movie itself. Anyway, the same goes for other TV shows. So the thing is, John isn't just doing these things as marketing pieces to the actual IP, they're actually being injected with huge doses of money from companies like Disney, so you can tell that they're good at what they do. So now, here's the twist. Jaunt isn't the only VR company out there. As far as innovation goes, they're just focusing on a tight niche, which is creating good VR content for bigger IPs. But they aren't the only people doing VR. So what makes them special? Well, the key word is they're good. They are just good at what they do, which is creating new waves of immersive entertainment. That's really basically it. And I wanted to include John on this list of startups because it's proof that sometimes you don't need to go completely out of the box and kickstart something completely new, which is cool. You can do that and you should. But other times, you just need to be really good at what you do and you'll go places. Like John, one of the 5 most innovative startups in Hollywood. Right, another episode has come to an end. So guys, listen, I hope you had fun listening to me go on and on and on for the last 30 minutes, and I hope you learned something new. These startups are pretty awesome, and you can always look them up on Google to learn more about what they do. Like, go check out John's page if you have a VR headset and get into their Always Sunny in Philadelphia VR experience, which is really fun and really funny and something to keep you occupied. Now, Front Row is up next, so stick around. Don't forget, you can check us out on and all our podcasts on the BFM app, which is, of course, available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play, I said before. So, Front Row is up next, so stick around. This has been 5 for Fortune with Arvind Yuvaraj, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.